Blog Talk Radio.
The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.
B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And that was Go Fish. And you can find out more about them at GoFishGuys.com. That's G-U-I-S, GoFishGuys.com. And you listen to me, Melissa Cantrella. And you listen to Trippy Toll Radio. Find out more about us at TrippyTollRadio.com. And what we got next for you, let's see, gonna play something from The 1 Minute Apologist. Thanks for listening to Trippy Toll Radio.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist.
1 Minute Apologist.
If you had 1 minute to be able to unpack for the audience,
we interview the world's leading apologists to provide credible answers to curious questions.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist. My name is Bobby Conway, and I'm here with a very special guest, Dr. Erwin Lutzer. It's good to be with you, Dr. Lutzer.
Great to be with you today.
Well, we want to ask you a question today, and the question is, how do you respond as a Christian to an atheist?
I love to speak to atheists, but one of the things that I do is I avoid all complicated arguments regarding God's existence. What I do with atheists is this. I say to them, I have a challenge to give you. It is a 21-day challenge. Will you take it up? It'll take you 10 minutes a day. And then they always ask, well, what's the challenge? Well, the answer is simply this. You take the New Testament Gospel of John and you read a chapter every single day. Take out 10, 15 minutes. I tell them, if you don't understand things, don't get hung up. Just keep reading and answer this question, who was Jesus? And even if they don't believe the Bible, I want them to answer the question, who did John, who wrote the book, what did he think of Jesus? Mm-hmm. And when they take the challenge, one man said that as he began to actually read the Bible, he said, all of my arguments were like puffs of smoke in the presence of the risen Christ. Now there's a challenge for you. 21 days, the Gospel of John, answer the question, who was Jesus? And at the end, you will conclude he was everything that he claimed to be, the Savior of the world.
So will you take the challenge to see that Jesus truly is more than a man?
Refuting compromise. How can there be death before sin? Answers with Ken Ham, whose Creation Museum has attracted 1.5 million visitors in less than 5 years. Some Christians say that when Adam sinned, he only died spiritually. They say physical death already existed. You know, the reason Christians say that sin only brought spiritual death is because they've been influenced by the secular world. They believe the secular idea that the earth's millions of years old. You see, if a Christian believes in evolution and an old earth, then death was already in the world a long time before Adam sinned. They say that Adam's sin resulted in only spiritual death, separation from God. But in Genesis chapter 3, God told Adam, because of his sin, that he would return to the dust from which he was made. This is definitely referring to physical death. Also in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul compares the death of the first Adam to the death of the last Adam, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus died physically on the cross. If Adam's death was only spiritual, then Romans doesn't make any sense. Adam's sin resulted in both spiritual and physical death.
The question of why a loving God allows death and suffering is on just about everybody's mind. In a 30-minute DVD, Ken Ham tackles that question. So for some great viewing, call and make a donation of any amount, and we'll mail you the DVD. 1-888-89-ANSWERS. Or get Ken's DVD through our website of answersoffer.org.
Just a young punk rock kid that knows what's going on.
An everlasting life is a free gift to all those who repent and trust in Him.
Do you believe God exists?
I don't know about God, but I do believe there's a higher being. Uh-huh. I don't know what you would call it, but I guess you can say God.
Enjoy this next witnessing clip with a young lady named Denise. Now, Denise says that she does not believe in the God of the Bible or heaven or hell, but it's very interesting. You can see that deep down she does acknowledge the reality of these truths when Ray places her right in the middle of two very thought-provoking moral dilemmas. Watch this.
I've got a moral dilemma for you. You live next door to a bank. One day you find a trapdoor into the bank that nobody knows about. There's billions of dollars in the bank. You could take $2 million and no one would ever know for sure. Would you take it? Think of all the good you can do with $2 million.
I think I would.
You'd take it?
See, why not?
You don't see why not?
Yeah.
Do you think it's theft?
Yes.
So what would you be called if you took it?
A thief.
So that wouldn't worry you?
It would, but...
$2 million.
$2 million. Who wouldn't want it?
Everyone has their price.
Yeah.
Do you believe God exists?
I don't know about God, but I do believe there's a higher being. Uh-huh. I don't know what you would call it, but I guess you can say God.
So do you see any evidence there's a God, or you just think it's a nebulous faith? You just have to believe in Him.
I think it's the faith. I don't know. I haven't seen proof that it exists, like me, myself, but I do believe that there's something there.
Yeah, well, someone had to make all this incredible creation around us. You know, we can't make a flower or a frog or a bird. In fact, we can't make a leaf from nothing, not a grain of sand from nothing. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's an intelligent designer that designed all things. Do you think this creator that's intelligent frowns on theft?
I'm sure he does.
So, on Judgment Day, if you stole that $2 million, do you think you'd be in trouble?
I would.
Denise, do you think heaven exists?
Not really.
Do you think hell exists?
No.
Okay, if God exists, do you think He's good?
I'm not going to say He's good, but I don't think He's bad. I think... He's like...
He doesn't care?
Not that he doesn't care. I think he's in us. Like, he... Like, I think God is the choices that we make. Like, people aren't good, but... I don't know. It's, like, hard to explain it. But I don't think our choices are God's choices. Like, I think we make our own choices, and if we want to be bad, then we're bad.
And there's no repercussions?
Oh, yeah, there's repercussions to everything.
Just in this life? I mean, I'm talking about, is there a judgment day? Is there a hell? Is there punishment for ultimate wrong? Like, 200,000 Americans were murdered in the 1990s. I don't know if you know that. Only 100,000 were punished, 50% success rate in homicide investigations. So 100,000 people got away with murder. You know, a woman was raped, her throat was cut, body put down the drain, acid disappeared, no body, no evidence, no conviction. Do you think God should care about that, or the person should just, who cares?
I'm sure he cares. I mean,
so
who
you think there should be punishment for someone who raped and murdered a woman?
Yeah, I mean, why would anyone want that to happen?
Yeah. So, if there's a judgment day, how are you going to do?
Not so good, since I stole $2 million.
Well, let's have a little test to see how you do. I'm going to take you through a few of the Ten Commandments. So, how many lies do you think you've told in your whole life, Denise?
Not a lot.
A lot?
Not a lot, but...
What, 10, 20, 100?
I think about 50.
50? So what do you call someone who's told about 50 lies?
Not a truthful person.
Well, a liar is the right word.
Yeah.
So what are you?
I'm a liar.
Have you ever stolen anything in your whole life, even if it's small?
Yes, I have.
What do you call someone who steals things?
I'm a thief.
Mm-hmm. So you're a lying thief?
Yes.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
No.
Good. Now, Jesus said, if you look with lust, sexual desire at another person, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever done that?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So, bearing in mind that you're a self-admitted lying thief, on Judgment Day, will you be innocent or guilty?
I would be guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Hell, I suppose.
Does that concern you? How old are you?
I'm 18.
Imagine dying at 18, and a lot of people die at 18. It's kind of a dumb age when we take risks. Imagine dying at 18 and finding yourself having all your secret sins uncovered by God, all the things you had thought about, done in darkness, all the lying and stealing, and finding yourself damned to hell, losing your soul, the most precious possession you've got. Does that concern you?
It does.
Okay. Now, do you know what God did for guilty sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell? He did something incredible. Do you know what it was?
He died for us.
Suffered and died. Now, do you realize the legal implications of that?
Yes.
Okay. Let me explain them and see if you agree. We broke God's law, the Ten Commandments, the moral law, but Jesus paid our fine. That means God can legally dismiss our case because our fine was paid for by another. The Bible says God commended his love toward us and that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. But it's even more than that. God took all our sin and laid it upon Jesus, all the unclean deeds that we've done, and he was punished for our iniquities. And then he takes all the righteousness of Christ, all the goodness, all his holiness, and gives it to those who repent and trust in Jesus. He credits their account. So when we stand before God as those that trust in Jesus, God just doesn't see our sins. He sees us as perfect and holy and righteous. That means he can grant us everlasting life. He can allow us to live without us being subjected to eternal justice. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Denise, this is what God is offering you through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But what you must do is let go of your sins. Confess and forsake them. Say, God, forgive me. I've sinned against you. And then willfully put your trust in Jesus Christ. Not in your good works, not in your religious works, but just in him. And God will forgive every sin you've ever committed and grant you everlasting life. Do you believe I'm speaking the truth?
I do.
Okay. So what you got to do is repent and trust in Jesus. When do you think you're going to do that?
Right now.
You serious?
I mean, I don't think at this exact moment, like in the next few seconds, but I mean, one has to like think about what they've done and like feel bad about it, and I can do that.
Do you have a Bible at home?
Yes.
Okay. Please think about this. This is where you're going to spend eternity, forever. There's nothing more important than your salvation. So, and think of the words of Jesus. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Can I pray with you?
Yes.
Learn how to share your faith biblically.
Each week, we send out a free ministry update, and it contains a short video clip. Ray finds colorful characters, He witnesses to them, and then I chalk talk the clip. Here's some samples.
Do you believe in God?
Of course.
I believe God actually learns through us.
There's a heaven right here.
Multiple times a day, God hugs me.
What planet are you living on?
I have no problem standing before the Lord as I am.
After seeing new clips each week and understanding the biblical principles behind them, you will end up saying, I could do that. There's no charge for the update. Just go here and sign up here, and we'll send it to you every week.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son.
Also, while you're there, check out the School of Biblical Evangelism.
The School of Biblical Evangelism is a full-blown online evangelism course. It'll help you overcome your fears. It'll help give you the answers to the 100 most commonly asked questions and objections to the Christian faith.
You'll find details on livingwaters.com.
The Fall. Now, what did it really do? Answers with Ken Ham, one of America's most in-demand Bible conference speakers. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans describes our present creation as a groaning one. And it certainly is. Look around. You see people dying and animals dying. There are deadly diseases and terrorism. This is not such a beautiful place. Genesis has the explanation as to why we're in this sorry state. When Adam sinned, everything changed. God has judged sin with death. And from that time on, the whole of creation was affected. Everything started to run down. No longer did God uphold the creation in a perfect state. But you see, Christians who accept the idea of millions of years of earth history are really denying that Adam's fall affected anything. You see, if the death and struggle we see in today's world has gone on for millions of years, then what change did sin bring? Nothing is different then. To accept millions of years is to deny the horrible effects of the fall as given in the book of Genesis. As we close out the week, we hope you'll call and request Ken Ham's eye-opening DVD on why God allows suffering and death. For some great viewing, call toll-free and make a donation of any size. 1-888-89-ANSWERS. The video is available by calling toll-free 888-89-ANSWERS or by going to our website of answersoffer.org.
Just a young punk rock kid that knows what's going on.
An everlasting life is a...
Welcome to the 1 minute apologist.
1 minute apologist.
If you had 1 minute
apologia,
to be able to unpack for the audience,
we interview the world's leading apologists to provide credible answers to curious questions.
Dr. Geisler, do all religions lead to God?
All religions don't lead to God for one simple reason. They teach opposite things, and opposites can't be true. Muhammad taught that there's only one person in God, and Christianity says there's three persons in God. They can't both be true. You know, the Bhagavad Gita can't be the Word of God, and the Bible, the Word of God. They teach opposite beliefs. And the Book of Mormon can't be the Word of God, and the Bible, the Word of God, because they have opposite beliefs. There's only one God, not many gods. So if they all taught the same thing, one, they'd be one religion, but the fact that they teach opposites, there are many religions, and opposites can't both be true. And they're on essential doctrines, not just trivial little things. How do you tell a counterfeit? You tell a counterfeit not by its superficial similarities, but by its crucial differences. You don't tell a counterfeit $20 bill because it says 20, it's on paper, it's rectangular. It has some crucial differences than a real $20 bill. So we tell counterfeits not by superficial similarities, but by crucial differences. Superficial to say, we believe in God, we believe in Jesus. Yeah, which Jesus, which God? Crucial differences are their opposite beliefs about God.
Yeah, there may be many different ways to the top of the mountain, but there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the 1 minute apologist.
1 minute apologist.
If you had 1 minute
apologia
to be able to unpack for the audience,
we interview the world's leading apologists to provide credible answers to curious questions.
If somebody's thinking about doing Christian apologetics, where do they start? In other words, what are the key apologetic issues of our time?
There are three of them: relativism, pluralism, and naturalism. Relativism denies any absolute truth. Pluralism says all views can be true. Naturalism says no supernatural events occur. Those are the three crucial apologetic areas. Relativism is self-defeating because they're saying there are no absolutes and they're absolutely certain of that. Pluralism is self-defeating because they're saying all views can be true. Well, all views can't be true because the opposite of that can't be true. And naturalism is the denial of miracles. If God exists, miracles are possible. Because if there's a God who can act, acts of God can be possible. So basically, that's a denial of the existence of God. And you can't deny the existence of God unless you posit some position where your knowledge is so absolute and so certain that you can eliminate possibility. Very few people have ever tried to disprove God. There are people who don't believe in God, but there are no disproofs of God. As long as it's possible for God to exist, miracles are possible and the Bible is credible.
Needed more missionaries in America. Answers with Ken Ham, whose ministry is building a full-size Noah's Ark south of Cincinnati, Ohio.
I often tell people at our conferences that my wife and I came to America as missionaries to a pagan culture. You know, chuckles usually spread across the auditorium, and then people even start to clap. Yes, America's been a great Christian nation, but people realize it's no longer what it used to be. Then I tell the audience, America has the greatest number of churches in the world, the greatest number of Christian colleges, and so on. By now you can hear a pin drop. I then ask, tell me, is America becoming more Christian or less Christian every day? I always hear a resounding less Christian. And why? Well, the world's affected the church rather than the other way around. Instead of the church being salt and light, the culture's contaminating the salt and dimming the light. This includes accepting evolutionary ideas. You know, we need to call the church back to its foundation, believing in the Bible, beginning in Genesis.
One tool to help you understand the Bible's reliability, starting in Genesis, is our pocket guide on a young earth. To receive this excellent 95-page resource, call toll-free and make a donation of any amount. 1-888-89-ANSWERS. 24 hours a day, our nonprofit ministry can be reached at 888-89-ANSWERS or get the pocket guide through our website of answersoffer.org.
Thank you for listening to Trippy Toll Radio. And next, what we got for you, we got the song. It's called Expository Teaching, and this is by Shimon. Thanks for listening. Trippy Toll Radio.
Soli Deo Gloria. Yeah. Once again, it's the church, man. Called and collected. There's a lot of confusion about what makes up a healthy church. So we're going to look at the first mark. Because without this one, you're in bad shape. Let's do it.
Yeah. With our raps, we adore our Master and Lord, Jesus Christ, who deserves all our claps and applause for the wrath that he bore at the cross, for our blasphemous thoughts and the classless acts of a whore. He gave up his life with the passionate roar, was raised up to heights where he sat at before. After this awe, he gave pastors the call to ministry, found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. What I first want to do is come to you, the church, to reverse the funny view. So let me ask a question. What's most essential? What is it that gives and local churches credentials? Some would say music, some would say deacons, others say reaching the lost and soul seeking. But if we want to give God the glory in our meetings, the most important thing is expository preaching. Where are the witnesses? Where are the spurs? Preach the word. Come on. Preach the word. We need sound theology to deal with reality.
Yeah. Preach the word. Preach the word.
We got enough rappers. We need more pastors.
Preach the word.
Yeah.
Preach the word.
We need explanation and deep application.
Yeah. Preach the word.
We got to
preach the word.
This verse right here is for the congregation. This is what y'all need to be listening for.
Yeah, let me explain what I mean. It's not too complex.
Uh-uh.
It's preaching God's word in its proper context. As you listen, be discerning. But you have to determine what's the point of the passage, the point of the sermon. If not, this problem must be confronted today, because he just used the Bible to say what he wanted to say.
What?
And even if it's delivered with fire and intelligence, that's basically making what God has inspired irrelevant. Instead of applying the word's reality, a lot of pastors relying on personality, but gifts of communication can never be a true replacement for the Holy Spirit's illumination. Without exposition, you'll lack major profit. All you'll get is tradition and your pastor's favorite topics, and that can be a slippery slope. The word should be giving you hope. This dude is just giving you jokes. That won't help you love Christ. It won't help your obedience. We need more expositors, not more comedians. With shepherds who labor in the text and faithfully connect you to the Savior, then wait for its effect. God gives the increase. Holiness, love, unity. The word faithfully preached builds up the whole community. If not, your Sunday meal will not last, and you'll have to supplement it with the podcast.
No.
Don't entertain us. That won't sustain us.
Preach the word.
Come on.
Preach the word.
Careful instruction, not a big production.
Preach the word.
The word.
Preach the word.
We don't need theatrics and mansion attacks.
Yeah. Preach the word. Preach the word.
We're on the brink of eternity. Please speak earnestly.
Preach the word.
This verse right here is for the pastors. I just want to encourage y'all, man.
Yeah. Y'all should be mindful of this devout thesis. All of the Bible is about Jesus. The Old Testament, Jesus Christ concealed. The New Testament, Jesus Christ revealed. This truth of the Lord Christ boldly conveyed this in Luke 24 on the road to Emmaus. The law, the prophets, and the teachings of apostles. All of these point back to Jesus in the gospel. But if the work of Christ is what the word is about, ultimately that should be what the sermon's about. Forget applause, you got to let the cross rock ya. All roads in the Bible. I believe it, Golgotha. Whatever the text, faithfulness demands that we should hear the echoes of nails hit in his hands. Don't try to be original, say the old story, and watch your people change as they behold glory.
The glory of Jesus, we need to see this. Preach the word.
Come on.
Preach the word.
Make Christ the center so new life can enter.
Preach the word.
We gotta
preach the word.
Give us the whole counsel along with the gospel.
Preach the word. Preach the word.
This is your duty. Show us God's beauty.
Yeah. Preach the word.
We gotta
preach
we
the
gotta.
Word.
Yeah. So that's it, man. That's the charge. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy, he charges him to preach the word. And yo, it's a lot of good resources out there. You know what I'm saying? Spirit Empowered Preaching by my man Art Azurdia. Christ-Centered Preaching by Brian Chappell. The Supremacy of God in Preaching by John Piper. Get these resources, man. More than anything, dig into the Word of God. Meditate on it and give it to your people. Grace and peace. Yeah.
Welcome to the 1 minute apologist.
1 minute apologist.
If you had 1 minute
apologist
to be able to unpack for the audience,
we interview the world's leading apologists to provide credible answers to curious questions.
If somebody's thinking about doing Christian apologetics, where do they start? In other words, what are the key apologetic issues of our time?
There are three of them: relativism, pluralism, and naturalism. Relativism denies any absolute truth. Pluralism says all views can be true. Naturalism says no supernatural events occur. Those are the three crucial apologetic areas. Relativism is self-defeating because they're saying there are no absolutes and they're absolutely certain of that. Pluralism is self-defeating because they're saying all views can be true. Well, all views can't be true because the opposite of that can't be true. And naturalism is the denial of miracles. If God exists, miracles are possible. Because if there's a God who can act, acts of God can be possible. So basically, that's a denial of the existence of God. And you can't deny the existence of God unless you posit some position where your knowledge is so absolute and so certain that you can eliminate possibility. Very few people have ever tried to disprove God. There are people who don't believe in God, but there are no disproofs of God. As long as it's possible for God to exist, miracles are possible, and the Bible is credible.
Welcome to the 1 minute apologist. If you had 1 minute,
Apologia,
to be able to unpack for the audience,
we interview the world's leading apologists to provide credible answers to curious questions.
In the church, we've got a bad reputation of throwing stones at the homosexual community. Is there any truth to that, and how can we go about reaching them with the love of Jesus Christ?
There's a lot of truth to it, unfortunately. First, heterosexual divorce has done a lot more to destroy marriage than all the gay activists in the world put together. Mm. And we're so quick to point a finger, we need to point at ourselves first. Mm-hmm. I've often apologized to the homosexual community for the failings of the heterosexual church and also for our hypocrisy in making this out to be the worst of all possible sins. And people can't own up to it. They can say, I'm dealing with pornography, I'm dealing with this and that, but they can't say I have same-sex attraction. So the church has failed miserably, and Christians need to ask forgiveness from the homosexual community for our failings. At the same time, if we really love someone, we'll tell them God has a better way. We'll tell them that Jesus shed the exact same blood for heterosexual and homosexual alike, that we're all created in God's image, all fallen, and all need help to the very core of our being, and Jesus can save, forgive, and even transform. So love calls us to tell the truth and to tell the homosexual community, God loves you very deeply, and there is a better way.
The Fall. Now, what did it really do?
Answers with Ken Ham, one of America's most in-demand Bible conference speakers.
The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans describes our present creation as a groaning one. And it certainly is. Look around. You see people dying and animals dying. There are deadly diseases and terrorism. This is not such a beautiful place. Genesis has the explanation as to why we're in this sorry state. When Adam sinned, everything changed. God had judged sin with death. And from that time on, the whole of creation was affected. Everything started to run down. No longer did God uphold the creation in a perfect state. But you see, Christians who accept the idea of millions of years of earth history are really denying that Adam's fall affected anything. You see, if the death and struggle we see in today's world has gone on for millions of years, then what change did sin bring? Nothing is different then. To accept millions of years is to deny the horrible effects of the fall as given in the book of Genesis.
As we close out the week, we hope you'll call and request Ken Ham's eye-opening DVD on why God allows suffering and death. For some great viewing, call toll-free and make a donation of any size. 1-888-89-ANSWERS. The video is available by calling toll-free 888-89-ANSWERS or by going to our website of answersoffer.org.
Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. This is your host, Melissa Cantola, and I want to thank you for listening today. Also, reminder, if you're listening live right now, or you'll know that it already passed, if you're listening to this archive, well, today is the day of, it has a really cool thing happening, that's solar eclipse, and starts at it's going to start at 4:24 and then go, 5:24 and then it goes to 7:24. And so it takes 2 hours for it, and it says it's going to be about 80-something, like 82 or 86%, something like that. Percent of it is going to be covered, so probably get dark a little bit. I don't know if it's completely, but it's going to be darker. But that's really cool, and even that's like, even that's got it worked the way the things go in between, the way it's designed that it happens to do that. I think it's the, when the moon gets in front of the sun. Really cool. Well, we're going to go out as the way we came in. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and this is the BIBLE. Bye for now.
The BIBLE, that's the book for me. The BIBLE, that's the book for me.
I have a
there. It's in the book.